So I've got the wonderful privilege to lead the Durbanville AM congregation of Josh Chen. It's just been a wonderful privilege and just wonderful to be part of the congregation. But it's also great to be part of a wider field of churches, and just to see what God is doing here is incredible. I tell you, I think you guys are so privileged to be able to be part of a church that really is aiming for authentic New Testament values and beliefs, a church that pursues Jesus. And to have that in your student years is just wonderful, eh? And so that is, I believe, a privilege. And so I, from the age of about 9, I was in a Spirit-filled church, got saved at about 7 years old. So I've been serving the Lord for 34 years, roughly, and was part of a Spirit-filled church through my late primary school teen years. Got filled with the Holy Spirit there, got baptized, and just really loved the Lord. But largely, I was part of it because we had to go. You know, my mom said, this is what we're going to do. So we went. Luckily, I got part of a youth group that I felt belonged, where I felt that I could belong and be part of. And then from there, I went to Bible school. And at Bible school, joined with a church that was First Up Church. Henry was part of that church. I got to know him when he was still in diapers. Just joking. He was, as a teenager, got to know him there. And then church eventually joined with Josh Chen. So I've only been part really of those two churches my whole life. And the reason why I'm sharing it is because largely my life has been about church. It's played such a critical part in my life. It's where I found my purpose. It's where I found my belonging. It's where I've learned to grow, not just in gifting, but also as a person. The 12-year-old who I was before I got filled with the Spirit is a total different person to what I'm now. But I developed as a person within the body, within the church. And that's been an absolute privilege for me. And the reason why I'm sharing it is I want to speak about being rooted in a local church and why it matters if you are part of a local church. Why is it part of a local church? I think all of us are longing for some sense of belonging. There's a yearning in us. You know, you want to, on social media, there's a sense that you desire to be acknowledged, accepted, approved of, recognized. And all of us yearn for that. And it's something that we find within the local church. And no synthetic, no artificial, no fake option can give that to us other than the church. There's a lot of counterfeits out there. Social media is a counterfeit to the church. It's like, hey, we were designed to be part of this community, but let's do an artificial one. Let's do a counterfeit. Counterfeit is something that feels like, it looks like the real, but it's not the real. And so let's create a counterfeit where people feel like, hey, I'm part of a community, but actually there's no substance there. There's no reality there. Because we weren't designed for that. We were designed for the church. And so I want to unpack that a bit. And I hope you, number one, would fall in love with it and see the beauty of it. That you'd find the priority of the church tonight, and that you would give yourself in a fresh and a new way like never before. Are you okay with that? Are we going to go for it? Let's do it. So the moment you get saved, the moment you bow your knee to Jesus and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you become part of the global church called the Universal Church. So you're part of His body. You accept Jesus. You belong to Him. Now you're connected to Him, but you're also connected to one another. And so if anyone tells you, if they're a Christian, it's just me and Jesus. I don't need the church. They are deceived and they are confused because it's incomplete. You can't have a relationship with Jesus without the church. And so if someone says that, if you maybe feel that I can have a relationship with Jesus and just float between churches and just come like make a church a nice to have, an optional thing in my life, there's a measure of deception in your life and you're applying it. There's an incomplete aspect to your walk with Jesus. And saying that it's only me and Jesus, not the church, is as ridiculous as someone saying that I've got this desire, this dream, to be in a relationship with a beautiful head. That's the cue. Okay, so I've got this desire. I just want to one day walk down the aisle with a beautiful head. Some of you are laughing because it's ridiculous. It's incomplete. You can't have relationship. You can't have intimacy. You can't have conflict. You can't have partnership. There's nothing that you can have with the head because it's incomplete. And to say it's just me and Jesus and not the church is as ridiculous as that statement and as incomplete as that statement. Because we were designed to not just have a relationship with Jesus the head, but with his body. Because Jesus is not just the head. He's a person. And his body here on earth is manifested through the church. And if you don't believe me, it's in the Bible as well. We read here in Acts, not just a pretty picture, but here's actually a scripture. Because we want to build our lives on the Bible. And we read here about a guy called Saul. And he was persecuting the church. He had this passion. Like what really got him going was to kill Christians. You know, that's when he wakes up. Oh, I want to stone a Christian. You know? If he walks past the stone, it's like, oh, that can do some serious hurt to a Christian and a church. I love that stone. So his life was about trying to destroy it. Why? Because he was convinced this is causing people to drift away from the real God. So he had like a real conviction. It wasn't just a hatred, but that hatred was that these people are taking people away from Jehovah. And so he was passionate about getting rid of this of the church, hurting Christians. And on his way to go do that, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Like, boom! He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church or me? So he didn't say, why are you persecuting my people, the church? He said, why are you persecuting me? And so what Jesus is saying here is that the church is me. I'm the church. So we can't say I've got a relationship with Jesus, but not the church, because it's incomplete, because Jesus said the church is me. And so when we bow our knee and we get saved, we become part of him, but also part of the church. And so we're part of the global church. But that global church is lived out in local expression. So the local church gives substance. It gives shape. It gives reality to the universal church. Because let's think about it. Where are we going to meet as the universal church? Hey, soon. One day in heaven. Zoom. 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 There's no place where the local, the universal church can gather. You know, there's no place that we can gather. But we need to find local expressions because that universal church gets lived out through a community, a local community. It takes shape through a local community. Saying that you're only part of the universal church. And what do I mean with you part of the universal church? It's saying, okay, I get this. I can't just be me and Jesus. I'm Jesus and people. So I'll just go to churches. You know, I'll just go to the Nielsen Fellowship with some other believers. That's the church. Or I'll just go to Every Nation, and then I'll go to Doxa, and then I'll go to Josh Jen, and then I'll go to this church and that church. And I'll just, because I'll just see what I really enjoy and try and see where's the vibe and where's the best worship. And I'll, that's not being part of a local church. Local church means I need to find a place where I can get rooted in, grounded in, and I want to tell you why. And I want to show you at the Bible, through the Bible, that it is actually, it's in the Bible that we need to be part of a local expression. And so saying that I'm going to move between churches and not get rooted in is like Chesan Colby saying, I'm a rugby player. Because he is, right? He's been professionally signed. He is a rugby player. But this week I'm going to play for the box. Next week, if I don't like what Russie is saying, I'm going to play for the All Blacks. And if we lose to Italy, I'm going to move to England. Chesan Colby can't do that. He's been chosen to be part of a specific rugby team. And that's where he contributes. That's where he's part. That's where he learns. That way he develops is within that team that he's been chosen into. The church is ecclesia. It's a Greek word for the called at once. And we've been called together for a purpose. And so although you're a rugby player, a Christian, you need to be part of a team, a local church. My dad is one of 18 children. I shared it with a group early on. One wife, one husband, no twins. And so, it's a church one. Don't get any ideas. They lived in a 3-bedroom house. They lived in a 3-bedroom house, all these 10 brothers. And I've got a lot of uncles. And because I've got a lot of uncles and aunts, I've got a lot of cousins. If there's anyone sitting here that's part of that lineage, hello, cousin. There might be a cousin in here. Who knows? I bumped into someone at the gym the other day and is like, oh, you look like, yeah, you look familiar, but I don't know you. Are you part of this family? He's like, yeah. Hi there, who are you? Seems like we're cousins or family of some sort. But that's a family. That's a Samuel family. But within that Samuel family, there are households. And in the same way, the church is one big family, but we've got households. And you've got to be part of an household. And we'll unpack why it's important and why it needs to be a priority. But you've got to be part of a household. Because you see, I'm part of a household. My dad, I'm the son of Derek, the son of Renell, and I've got a sister. And we did stuff together. I grew within that household. I contributed in that household. I didn't hop around from household to household. I was part of a household while I was part of a family. And so it is for the Christian. We are part of a universal family, but we need to be slotted into our household. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Just quickly go back. Just want to go back to that scripture. Let's do Matthew 18. Just want to show you the difference between the universal church and the local church. So there's two instances in the book of Matthew where Jesus speaks about the church. The first one is where he tells Simon Peter, when Peter says that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and that revelation comes on Peter. Jesus says, Peter, on this rock, his revelation, I will build my church, universal church. And then there's a second time that Jesus referenced the church, and it's in this passage in Matthew 18. And here Jesus says, if your brother or sister, you see it's someone that's familiar to you, someone that you know, sins, go and point it out their fault between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen to you, take one or two others along. So it's people that are close by. I can't phone up a Christian there in America and say, hey, quickly come, we need to sort out something here. And you in Kazakhstan, you can also come. Find a way that you can get through customs. We need to quickly sort out the brother here. So it's someone that's close by. And so we see here that there's a church within a location. If they will not take others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. So we don't tell if Vian's struggling with something and he doesn't want to listen and we've sat with him, we tried to help him through it. We don't call the whole church globally together. You know, we don't send out a message on social media, say, we need to chat about this brother. We get those that's in the location together, those that know him, those that have fellowship with him. We get them together and say, here's a brother that's constantly sinning. We need to chat about it. Henry said something beautiful. To find this, and here, when Jesus speaks about this church, he's speaking about not the universal one, but one in a location, a local church. And you need to be part in order to be put out. They say when he doesn't want to listen, handle him as an unbeliever, put him out as a pagan. So in order for that to happen, you need to be part of something. Because you can't be put out of something if you're not part of something, right? And so here's evidence that we need to be part of a local church. Another example is in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. It says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, so that's when we come together as a people like this. Francois shared it while he was leading, yeah. One is a hymn, one is a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So it says people come and contribute their gifts so that the church can be built up and strengthened. That's when the church comes together. So when Paul wrote this to this church, he was not writing that to the church out there. He was writing it to a church within a location. And we're going to see that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1 and 2. This is the start of that letter. So he instructs them. He says, when you come together, do this. He says, yeah, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother S, Sos, my bro, to the church of God in Corinth. So there he says, to the church that meets in a location, a local church. This letter is for you, first of all. To those sanctified in Christ, those that have a relationship with Jesus, those that bow Jesus, those that are part of him now and part of the church, called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see he's referring to two groups of people there? Those in Corinth, but also to those across the world who call on Jesus. And so there's a distinction between two groups. We are part of everyone, but I'm writing this letter to you. That's this group specifically. And so here we see evidence that churches meet in local places as well. And so if we say it's important to have not just this relationship with the head, but also with the body of Christ, how do we live that out? It's not just to be part of a church out there. It's to be part of a church right here. And that's how we live that relationship out. We read in Ephesians 2 verse 19. We are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There again, it's that language of a household, a local place. Because reality is in the universal church, the large scope of the church, people don't know you. You know, you can't be accountable. You don't have leaders to look after you. You don't have a place where you can contribute your gifts and love on others. You're not known there and you don't know others. But in a local community, you can flesh that out and actually know people. Have relationships, accountability relationships, care for others, have leaders that look over you. And so in a local place, in a household, that can happen. We read here in Hebrews 13, verse 7, that a local church has leaders. It says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Who's a cool Bible preacher that you love at the moment? Henry, okay, no. That's a good one. But I'm speaking about Universal Church. Louis Giglio, do you know him? Hey? Who's the Mark Driscoll's? Paul Washer. Paul Washer. We don't know. I mean, he's got good teaching. He's got good messages. We mentioned a few guys. They've got good teaching. Teaching that will benefit us. But we don't know their way of life. Let's face it. We don't know how many times have we seen Bible teachers that has a huge following, and then you hear that his marriage is falling apart and he's been sleeping around with people in the church. Because you don't know when the writer of Hebrews says the leaders that you know, it's people that are close. And so it's once again referring to a church is a place where there's leaders that are close, not out there. They're close. So that you can see their way of life and have such relationship with them that you can actually imitate the way they live. Acts 20 verse 28, it says, keep watch over yourselves. This is speaking to the leaders and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own precious blood. And he's speaking to the leaders. And he says, leaders, look after yourself, but also after the flock, those that is under your care. So we see here that leaders have people to care for. And once again, an example of the church that is local. And you as a Christian, as a believer that belongs to Jesus, need to find a place where you have leaders over you. Because they look after you. They look out for you. Like a shepherd would protect the sheep against a predator. What a predator tries to do is he tries to get in between the flock of sheep and tries to isolate one of them. It's rarely that they'll attack a whole flock. But if they come there and they can get someone, one of the sheep, to get isolated, then they pounce on that one and they devour that one. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion looking whom he can devour. And so all he does is he tries to get you isolated. And when you're isolated, you're vulnerable. But leaders look out for you and say, oh, this relationship that you're going in, watch out for that. Oh, you're spending a lot of time here. You know, if you're going to spend a lot of time here, you're going to get isolated. Your resolve, your fighting spirit is going to get weak, and then you might fall into sin. And if you fall into sin, the enemy can devour you, kill, steal, and destroy. So they look out for you. They encourage you. They challenge you. And so you need leaders that will look out for you because you don't want to get isolated. I've seen at Bible school, we had guys that were part of our Bible school, part of our church, loved Jesus, evangelist of note. I mean, he got everywhere and he was just passionate about the word. And he left Bible school, came to study at Stellenbosch, and started to drift away from the church. He didn't have leaders that would look after him. He didn't have a community where he could share his life, get encouragement. And he drifted away, eventually got into New Age because of new friends that he made, got into drugs, sex, and eventually 2 years ago in Australia, in a hotel room, under the influence of drug, took his own life. He was passionate. Within a few years, his marriage was, he got married, but that went and it just bombed out, got divorced because he got isolated from the flock. He was no longer under leaders or part of a church. And so my encouragement to you is this relationship with Jesus, it gets fleshed out, it gets lived out within a community, a local community, where there's fellow believers and leaders. So don't be a sheep that scatters. Don't be a choppy. Be part of the flocky. Hmm? Yeah? Don't be a choppy for a predator. Be part of the flocky. Hey? So we don't, and we don't look, the Bible says that, the Bible says here in Acts, you can put the Acts scripture on, that when people got saved in the book of Acts, they were added to their number. They were added, those that were being saved. So when you get saved, the Lord actually adds you, puts you into the body, and now you've got to get part of a local community. You don't join just like you would join a gym or a tennis club or a paddle club or a hard rocks gym or a, singing club at the hostel. It's not like you join and then you decide when you're done with it, you get, you know, it's like, okay, I'm done. Or maybe you've got a gym contract and you've got the card, but you don't go. So it's like, I'm part of the church, but how long, when last did you go? I don't know. That's not being part, that's not being added. That's having the membership card, but not going. That's joining on your terms. But the Bible says we're not joined, we get added. As part of our new creation, part of our new nature, we're added into a local body. Added into a local body. We don't just join. So we don't go looking who's the best worship leader, who's the best preacher, who dresses, which pastor dresses the best, what church is the best coffee, what church is the best social vibe. I don't go after that. I say, Lord, where do you want me? Under what leaders do you want me? In which community do you want me to grow and serve? Because it matters to Jesus. Of the few things Jesus are still busy with. You know Jesus came to earth to die on the cross? But you know that Jesus is still serving us? The Bible says that he's making intercession for us. Right now he's praying for you. Praying for your protection. Praying for your soul. Praying that you would stand the evil one. Praying that you would grow in your faith and grow in your maturity. He's praying for you right now at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that amazing? He's still serving us. He went to go prepare a place for us. So we're going to spend eternity with him. But the other thing that he's also doing right now is building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Well, that means the gates of Hades. Hades was what they referred to as a place of death. And gates was in the Greek language referred to a place of authority. So death will have no authority on the church. The church won't die. The church won't end. And so he's busy building something eternal. And if we say I'm a follower of Christ, what I'm actually saying is what's important for him is important for me. What he values, I value. What he teaches, I follow and I live out. I follow his example. I follow his passion. That's what it means to follow him. So if we're reading here that Jesus is still building his church and I'm a follower of Christ, I want to be part of what he's building. And so that's why it's an important thing for a Christian. That's why it needs to be a priority for a Christian. I shared with you, I was in, what's that time looking like? Oh, we started at 6:30, eh? Oh, okay, shoo. I thought we started at 6. Are you still with me? So, are you? You know, sometimes a pastor or a preacher asks, are you with me? And everyone's like, oh, not really. So I was part of this church as a teenager. And grade 11, we got a youth camp scheduled. I registered for the youth camp. I was going on the youth camp. And then I played second team cricket. I was dropped from the first team because you have your grade 11s and grade 12s that play together. And so I was no longer part of the first team cricket team. Believe it or not, I could actually bowl quite fast. I didn't have a lot of height, but I had a lot of nip. And so I was a bowler, and I loved fielding. I was great at fielding as well. And so I got this call from, I mean, that's back in the day when there wasn't cell phones. So if your landline rings and it's a teacher from school, it's quite intense. Eh? So it's like, Kevin, your teacher wants to speak to you. I'm like, whoa, what did I do? And so he says, Kevin, one of the guys can't make it. He got an injury. Would you like to join us on tour and play in the first team, cricket team? It's like, whoa. It's amazing. But it's the same weekend as a youth camp. What do I do, Lord? Because I'm going to have FOMO either way. You know, if I can't be in the first team cricket team, that's going to suck. And I probably will never get an opportunity again. But there's a youth camp. And I want to see what God wants to do. I'm not going to play provincial cricket, but if I miss out what God does there, is it worth it? And I realized at that age, although it was my mother that took us to church, and it was what she did, you know, you can serve the God of your father or mother, or it can become your God. I think in that moment, God spoke to me and taught me something, where I had to make a decision. What's going to be the biggest FOMO? But because the church was a priority for me and God started to open that up for me, I chose to go in the youth camp. Never got the opportunity to play for the first team ever again. But man, I met Jesus in a profound way. I met God in a profound way. God did something in me, shaped me as a person. And I probably, if I didn't make those decisions in my life, I probably would not have walked in what I'm walking now. And the reason why I'm sharing with you with a lot of passion, a lot of conviction, is many of you are still under the age of 30. And if you can build these building blocks into your life right now, it's going to set your course. It's going to set your focus. It's going to set your priority in life to revolve around what's important to Jesus. And in that, there's a lot of life. In that, there's a lot of freedom. Now, I know life is busy. And you probably are wondering, but what about this? If I make the church a priority, what about my studies? What about my work? What about I want to have kids one day? Will I ever have the opportunity to have kids? You know? What do I do when I get home? It's like, how do I cope with life? If we make the church priority, will I ever have life? You know? What about my social life? And this is the prophetic picture what I felt the Lord give you to navigate that question. So what that little thing is right there, it's a cricket ball. I didn't know all the cricket examples. Wow. But my youngest, Reese, 8-year-old, he loves his cricket. And we live in a complex and we can't really play with the ball because he eats it either in another yard or all over the show in a tree. So I saw this at the shop and I thought, this is great because he can eat it and it won't go anywhere. You know, it will come back because that's an elastic band. And what you do is you knock the elastic band in at the one spot. There's a little pin that you get with it. So you knock it in the elastic band, you pin it down, and then you can take the ball wherever you want to. And then you can throw the ball, you can release it, and it goes to my son with his bat, and then he can hit it as hard as he wants to, and it comes back. And I felt that's a picture of how you should be living your life as a Christian who makes a church your priority. Pin down your life. It's all about Jesus and his body. So I pin it down. I've nailed Jesus. What's important to him is important to me. And so I commit my life. I root my life in Jesus and his church. And every now and then, I quickly need to go and study. Like the ball. It's like, I study. Because I need to. You need to do well in your studies. You need to have a job. And so you need to get, good marks. So you study. But then you don't keep on drifting because you're connected and you're rooted. So what happens is when you're done studying, you go back to what's important to you. And then you go home for the weekend. Woo, my old buddies at home at this Joshian venue. But I'm here, but I don't keep on drifting because I'm connected. And I go back to where I'm rooted. In Jesus and his body. And because there's a relationship, because he's rooted in you, connected, there's relationship. And you don't, like a chuppy, you don't get isolated and vulnerable for the enemy because you are rooted and connected. And so I trust that that will help you, because there's seasons in your life where one day you're going to have, like this young married couples here, you're going to have a baby. And you can ask Henry and Francois, jeez, life is crazy. When there's a little baby, it wants all your attention. You know, it's like the most selfish little thing, but the most adorable little thing as well. It's like, how dare you? How dare you take over my life? You feel like that. It's like, I love you, but how dare you? And so it takes a lot of your focus and attention. But if you're rooted and connected, you'll always come back to what's important. And so priority in your life doesn't mean Jesus, my work, my family. It's not a list. Priority means I'm rooted into something. And from that place, my life, my whole life revolves around that thing. And so are you rooted in somewhere? Are you rooted in your relationship with Jesus? And are you rooted into a local house? I'm going to share why it's important. I'm going to share what's the benefit of it right now. Firstly, we need to be rooted in a local church, because God builds us in as living stones where we can contribute and share our gifts. God wants you to be a place where you belong, where you belong, where you're part, and where you can contribute, where people know you. We read here, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by people, speaking about Jesus that was rejected, but is a choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, speaking to every one of us, are living stones, as living stones are being built into a spiritual house. Not a spiritual, imaginary, globe, worldwide network. It's in a house to be a holy priesthood. We're built in. So quickly, the two of you quickly come. The two of you quickly come. The two of you quickly come from Durbanville. Woo! In the house. Yelimitkom, you represent on stage here. And the two of you can also come. Quickly stand next to one another and connect quickly. Lock your arms. This is a picture of living stones being built together. The church is not built with bricks. This is just a building where the church gathers. This is not the church. The church is living stones. And it's not living bricks. If you look there, the bricks are pretty much all the same. But in the church, we're not bricks. We're not the same. Stones have got different shapes and sizes, different giftings, different strengths, different weaknesses. And we are stones that are being built. You ain't quite all the same height. The previous one I had taller and shorter people. I miss them. Not the same muscles. No, no, no. There's a lot of muscle here in the middle. So we've got different shapes, different giftings, different people that's being built in together. And together we show something to the world of people that's diverse, but we're one in Christ. And we're built in together. But the problem is, as living stones, he built us together. And it says here, to be a holy priesthood, that we would serve Jesus. Priests served Jesus, God, and they served the community. And so we're here to serve one another and to serve God. But we do it together, because we're built in together to do that. It's not like I'm on my own and I do that. As a people together, we do that. But the problem is, if muscle, you miss. You're a choppy. You've drifted. You drifted out. You went to go study and then never came back. And so he drifted out. So what happens is, now here's a gap here. And now the enemy can come in here and wreak havoc, because there's a gap. Also, what happens now is the support that he gave to them is missing now. This encouragement that he maybe needed is not there. You know? There's some, I've heard testimonies in church. Someone just hugged someone or prayed with someone and shared encouragement, and it changed that person's whole day. But now that's not there anymore, because they've drifted. They haven't made it a priority anymore. It's not a priority anymore. They're not rooted anymore. They took out the pin. And now Desiree, she doesn't have her support. Someone that can look out for her, encourage her. She's vulnerable now, because he drifted. And so that's why it's important that even though you feel insignificant, you feel like your part doesn't matter, you're a living stone. You matter because he built you into the house. And that's why you matter. And so you've got a place where you belong, where you find support, There's also a place where you now contribute. Thank you. Kom Desiri, ek in ons, dis hy. So now, yeah, you got a lot more muscle now. Eh? Yeah. Thanks, guys. You can sit. And so God builds you in so that you can contribute and to be part of His house. We had a guy in our church. He was a single guy, late 20s, early 30s, somewhere there. And we've got a lot of people getting babies. We've got 180 babies in our congregation. Or not babies, kids under the age of 18. And it's like, what do you guys do? Do you have church? kids under the age of 18. And so there's a lot of children there. And so what happens, there's also a lot of young married couples that are having babies. But like I said, when a baby comes, it takes over your life. And parents don't have time to necessarily to make food. Because it's like, our hands are full of dirty diapers and we're running around and we're just trying to get sleep because we're up the whole time. And so to think of food is just like, we haven't thought of food. And so you actually have the body that's locked in. And the body starts taking meals to people. And so we've got a roster where people can say, I want to contribute. I might not be able to preach, but man, I can make a meal and go take it and bless someone. And so now the church is loving on one another. They know and being cared for, being prayed for. Now I take the meal and I pray. So this little guy, he's like, what can I do? It's like, okay, there's opportunity, but I don't know how to make food. So what he did is he went to an older lady in the church and said, I want to make a meal for that couple that just had a baby, but I don't know how to make food. Will you teach me to make a meal? So the older lady, taught the single guy to make a meal. He went and made that meal and took that to the family to be a blessing. Living stone. So you might feel there's opportunities all around you. And God has built us in to belong. We matter because He put us there and He wants you to contribute right there where you're at. Ephesians 4:16 says, from Him the whole body joined and held together. Like we built together. We held together by every supporting ligament. So we support one another. We hold one another together. It grows and is built up in love as each one does its part. You have a part to play. And as you play your part, the body is built up. But if you're not part of a local, if you're not rooted, you can't play your part where you need to play your part. So how do I know what my part is? Speak to your community leader. It says that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. He gives it. Just spend time with the Holy Spirit and say, here I am, empty vessel, fill me, give me something I can give. Ask your comm leader. Start looking out for opportunities to serve. Greet a visitor. Pray for someone. Send encouragement. All of you have got phones. You've got more than five people's numbers probably in the life of the church, except if you're a visitor, but maybe you've got. Send someone a message and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. Just want to encourage you with the scripture. That's praying your part. It's contributing in the life of the church. Secondly, so that's why is the church important? Why do we need to be part of a local church? Because we need a place where we can belong and contribute. Secondly, we need a place, so we want to belong and contribute, but also a place where we can commit to God's purposes, God's call. So God has a purpose. He's got a call. He wants us to make disciples of all nations. But once again, it's not an individual sport. He wants the church to do it. That's His chosen vehicle. So I want all mankind to come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I've chosen a tool. I've chosen a vehicle, and that's the church. And so we need to be part of, as much as we need to get rooted in, we're also getting rooted into the mission and the mandate that God has given the church. So we get built in, we need to be rooted because we've got a purpose. And the place we live out that purpose. Because one day, if you're an engineer, if you're an accountant, if you're a stay-away mom, if you're a teacher, that's just your job. That's not your purpose. That is not a reason why you're on earth. That's not the reason why you exist. The reason why you exist is to take the love of Jesus to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And while you're teaching, while you're engineering, while you are trying to stay awake and accounting, while you do that, you're actually making disciples of all nations. But we can't do it on our own. We've got to do it in the life of a local community. And we do it through that community. We had a guy in our church. I'm going to give you a scripture now. But we had a guy in our church. He One of our eldest wives, she's on our team now. She got saved in Joshen. And the reason why she got saved is a guy that's still in our church, a deacon in our church, met her on a bus and led her to Jesus on the bus going to work. And then he met her friends and he brought her friends to church and they got saved. They're also deacons in the life of the church. There's five people sitting in our church today in leadership because of this guy that shared the gospel and was passionate about that. But then one day he started to work and he got promoted at work and he started to pursue this career. He wanted to move to Australia. So his whole life was, I need to get in Australia. That was all he spoke about. That's all his money and attention went into. And he wants to grow his career and get out of South Africa. That was his focus. And what happened? He became a choppy and started to drift. And just drift. You would speak to him, there was no passion for Jesus anymore. And there was no passion to reach the lost and serve the purposes of God. He lost the passion for that. He lost the part he needed to play in the church, the reason why God created him, he lost passion for that. And then one day, the Lord came into his hardness, into his arrogance, and broke through, and he saw it for what it was. He repented. He came to me and he said, forgive me. We've had many chats, tried to win him back, but he was just hard. And he said, forgive me. I see what I've missed. And he got back into the church and he started to fall in love with Jesus again. And suddenly he got a passion again to reach people, pray for people. He told me he'll never be a leader in the life of the church. He had to be stepped down as a deacon. He don't want to be a comm leader. He's currently a comm leader again. He's currently a deacon in the life of the church because he got back where he needed to be in a living relationship with Jesus and in the local church. And in that place, his passion got kindled again. How do we stay involved in the purposes that God has for us through the local church? It keeps us fueled. It keeps us focused. We read here in Ephesians 3 verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. His intent to make known the mystery of Jesus Christ is through the church. He wants to make known the manifold wisdom to every ruler and principality. So it's through the church that he wants to do it. So if you're not part of a local house, you're not part of the vehicle. And you need a place of belonging, a place where you can contribute, a place where you can be committed to God's purposes. And last point, and then I'll share a quick ending. We need a place where we can grow. We need a place where we can grow. Lizaldi comes from a very broken childhood, very broken. She's got sisters and stepsisters, and all of them have been faced with the same brokenness. But Lizaldi is walking in way more freedom than any of them. And the main reason for that is a relationship with Jesus that some of her sisters also have. But the big difference for her that they don't have is she's part of a local church. And she's rooted into a local church. And what that has helped her is it gave people around her that could open up their home to her, that could pray with her, that could do deliverance, that could disciple her through the freedom. And because of that community through the years, she's walking in freedom. She's grown, and her sister's not, because they love Jesus, but they don't have a local community that can help them. And she had that. And she's living proof, not just of a relationship with Jesus, but the benefit of the body in her life. And she would testify the church has been such a blessing to her because they've helped her grow and mature and find freedom. And part of the church is that. And in America, there's a forest, the Redwood Forest, and there's these massive trees. Look how big those trees are. There's a people that's trying to get around the tree. And there's this massive forest. And you can show the next picture. Huge, huge trees that have been around for thousands of years that have withstood storms and rain and wind and just various things that the earth has to offer. They withstand that. They're thousands of years old. And the reason why they're able to do that, many people thought it's because they have deep roots. But actually, they've got very shallow roots. But the reason why they could grow so big and endure all that hardship and challenges is because their roots are shallow but connected with one another. And so that's why they could grow and be secure. because their roots are interconnected. And so that's what we, as we root ourselves in a local church, we get interconnected with other believers. And that helps us to withstand challenges, but also to grow and to mature. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up, meeting together." And many times your leaders would tell you, "Do not give up meeting together." And it's almost like, I'm going to check up on you and send you a WhatsApp. If you don't come to church, you must come to church. But actually, that scripture is not a you must. It says, don't neglect meeting together. Why? Because we need to encourage one another daily. We need to spur one another onto good works. So I don't neglect the gathering because I could encourage someone. I could spur someone on. I don't neglect the gathering because someone might encourage me and spur me on. And that's why we can't afford to miss it. Because we grow, we get encouraged, we get built up by others around us. So that's why we have community groups and not just Sunday meetings. Because at community groups, you can do that. You can belong, you can contribute, you can encourage others, you can spur others on, and you can grow in that environment. I want to end with this. Jesus prayed, "Father, make them one, just as we are one." And what he's saying is that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are so connected, they are so one, they're so in unity. And make my people, he's praying for the church, make them one as we are one. Make them connected. Make them connected. But there was one moment where God, the Trinity, was not connected, and that was on the cross. So Jesus was hanging on the cross and he cried out, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" And what he was really saying is, "Why have you ripped us apart? Why have you ripped us apart?" And the reason why they were ripped apart for a brief moment is because of our sin and because he wanted to bring us back in a connection with him. And that's a covenant relationship. You had to die there because what happened was sin in the Old Testament, the only way that they could deal with sin, because sin was part of humanity because of what Adam and Eve did. And because of that sin, the only way that they can settle the guilt and the shame of the shin. My shin or your shin? how they could settle the guilt and the shame and the sin was to offer a sacrifice. And when that sacrifice was offered, it wiped the slate clean. But that had to happen once and for all. God wanted that to be done with. And so he sent his son to die on a cross as a lamb sacrificed for our sin. He became the isolated one to deal with our sin. And as he was hanging there on the cross and he was ripped apart, it's like, why are we ripped apart? The reason why he was ripped apart is that sacrifice. He said, we can be brought back in a connectedness with him, the Father, and with one another. And that's the beauty. Nico, come here quickly. That's the beauty of a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship, they normally slaughter a sacrifice in a covenant relationship. And when they slaughter that sacrifice, it says, may what happens to this animal happen to one of us if we don't hold our side of the commitment. And so that's what they did. And so they would walk in an eight, saying that this is infinity, this is eternal. They walked in an eight around the two carcasses, the sacrifice that they made, and they said, this is binding. This stays forever. And while we're doing it, what we're saying is, what's yours is mine. What yours is mine. And that was a covenant, that was like a commitment that they made. And Jesus was now that sacrifice. And what the Father did in that moment when he ripped him apart, he said, in our place, Jesus died in our place, because I'm going to make the covenant with my son, because you won't be able to keep the covenant. And as I make the covenant with my son, I bring us back in a connectedness where everything that is yours is mine, and everything that is mine is yours. And so we come with our shame, our guilt, and our shame. We come with our sin. We come with our nothingness. And we come to him, and he says, I've got a covenant relationship with you, and everything that is mine is now yours. And so now we get everything in Christ, and we've done nothing. But because of that covenant, it's all ours. But part of that is everything that is his, God's, is now mine. And part of what is his body, is his church. And so as he was ripped apart, he brought connection back to the Father, but also to one another. Because now, his body, I'm part of that. It's mine. And so he brought us back into a relationship. So the reason why it needs to be a priority for a Christian is Jesus died so that we could be united with one another. Jesus died so that we can be parts. Jesus died so that we can grow with one another and be one as they are one. Thanks. So this evening, there's a call to get rooted into a local church and make it the priority of your life. Other things in your life are still important, like that band, but you just said to come back to this place. Will you make that commitment if you haven't done that yet? Whether it's in this house or another house, will you make that commitment? Will you make that commitment?